'tis the season. The winter solstice, and Hanukkah, Christmas, Pancha Ganapati, Kwanzaa, and so on. All seems to happen right now. Big holidays associated with a variety of religious traditions. Holidays that mark the season and invite us to fill it with light, gratitude, and giving. It conjures up images of menorahs and candles, twinkling pine trees, dark nights, and starry skies. And for me this morning, it is conjuring up Mrs. Claus, wife of Santa Claus, the real Mrs. Claus. So I want to tell you about back when my husband and I first started going to a UU congregation. We went because, well, he's agreeable, and he came along with me. He was very unchurched, so I think he thought it would be an interesting social experiment to go with me. But I think I was looking for some sense of spirituality in my adulthood, and so I dragged him to a UU church. But we both of us can be a little bit introverted, and we definitely weren't looking to meet people. We were not looking for community. So what did we do? We went to the service just as it was starting. We'd slip in through the French doors along the side of the sanctuary. We'd slip in, we'd grab a seat, sit down, stay right until the postlude. And I'm sorry to the music director there, because then right as the postlude would start, we would slip out the side so that we could escape before anyone could say anything to us. So this went on for more weeks than I care to admit. Until one Sunday, we did our usual thing, and the postlude started, and we started to slip out those French doors on the side, and there on the patio, with her arms outstretched, was Mrs. Claus. And I'll tell you why I'm calling her that in just a minute. But Mrs. Claus was there with her white hair and her rosy cheeks and her smile. And she said, "Stop! I have been tasked with making sure that you two do not leave without us finding out who you are." And she must have seen us kind of look like deer in headlights, because she said, "All we want to do is love you." And how could you resist that, coming from Mrs. Claus of all people? So after that, we were hooked, and I call her Mrs. Claus because, sure enough, she was Mrs. Claus, we discovered, because when the holiday season would roll around, there she was coming in during the time for all ages for the kids, Mrs. Claus in her full regalia, passing out candy and gifts for the kids and so on, with her generous and warm heart. You know, I know this holiday season is a challenging time for a lot of people. It's really a time of what some would consider darkness. I know people who are anxious, who are worried, and not without reason. I was just speaking yesterday to someone that I've worked with in recent years, and he serves as a chaplain in the military. And he is also trans. He's a trans UU chaplain. And he has very real fears about what it will look like for him going into this next year. It's no secret that I've worked closely with Planned Parenthood over the last few years. I've directly heard stories of the struggles that women have had to getting the health care that they need. And I have seen that anxiety get higher, greater. I live in a city where a quarter, it's actually more like one in three of the residents are undocumented. These are my neighbors. These are the people I know, the people I interact with every day. Lots of people in my life, and maybe in yours too, are worried. And it's not just because their team lost. All this stuff goes beyond politics. Real lives are affected. So yes, it can feel like a dark time in this season of lights. But I want to talk about darkness for a minute, because that old binary metaphor of dark versus light, it doesn't always serve us so well these days. It can be considered problematic. It can even reinforce old stereotypes and racism. So let's just think. Let's think about the dark for just a moment. I mean, sure, the dark, it can be scary. These long winter nights can be cold. It was cold last night. We can't always see what's there in front of us. We have the unknown all around us in the dark. There are solid reasons to be afraid sometimes. But darkness can also be generative. It can be the place where we rest. I don't know about you, but when the night is really cold, I put on that extra blanket and I sleep like I never usually sleep. It can be a place where we form new ideas, new concepts, new visions. In the dark, in the quiet, in the stillness, these things are able to grow sometimes before we then shine a light on them. So if it feels like the dark right now for a number of reasons, from fears of what will happen in this nation to actual seasonal depression that comes for some during long winter nights, perhaps we can make use of this darkness as a time to regenerate, to prepare, to become the fuel that lights the lamps when the time comes. So many of the holidays this time of year speak to this. Hanukkah tells a story of resistance and persistence, culminating in a lamp that magically stays lit despite there not being enough oil. Reverend Gretchen Haley says, "What makes the story of Hanukkah especially important for us today was the choice that was made to light the lamp in the first place, even though everything seemed hopeless, even though it seemed like their effort could not be enough to wake up and take the risk of lighting that lamp and leaning into love, learning something new, relieving ourselves of some old fear or prejudice, trusting that grace will show up, that a way is still being made where it seems there is no way." I love that idea. I love that idea. And my question for all of us this year is, what lamps do we need to light? What is created? What forms in the darkness that could use a lamp to light it up? What truths of compassion and beauty have been obscured by the events in our world today that could use us to shine a lamp on them? Those truths are not gone just because we can't see them because of the darkness. They are still living in the dark. On December 21st, the winter solstice will occur in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, this time of darkness and reflection has been acknowledged for all of human history. Sometimes they call it Yule. Winter solstice has been associated with the birth of a divine king long before Christianity. Throughout history, cultures have recognized and celebrated this sacred and transformative time of year. In order to cope with the growing darkness, these folks, our ancestors, devised dances, wore masks, told stories. Shamans, crones, sages were called upon to lead the community in bringing back the light to the world. Many Native American people had such traditions. In Cahokia, the indigenous people built a structure known today as Woodhenge. On the winter solstice, the sun aligns with this structure. The Zuni Pueblo people today of western New Mexico, they celebrate the winter solstice through encouraging the deities to provide balance and blessings in the year ahead. And lots of other cultures have similar traditions. It's all a reminder of the great cycle of life. Richard Gilbert says, "Darkness is not mere absence of light. May we not bemoan the dark, but relish it. May we feel its powerful presence and rejoice in its mystical embrace, may we celebrate the deep and nourishing dark. Christmas, too. Christmas is also a time of light and hope. And look, I know it's hard sometimes with the commercialization of Christmas and so much that we hear of the dominant culture and that all of that relationship of Christianity and nationalism, all this stuff makes it really hard sometimes to have an open heart toward Christmas. But as Unitarian Universalists, and we will talk more about this later this month, we have a long and important history of shaping Christmas, shaping it as a season of giving, even a season of social justice, righting economic injustices, and caring for the most vulnerable among us. That's part of our legacy. The lights of Christmas are meant to be a beacon of practical hope amidst the challenges of today's world. So whatever holiday or tradition you individually are moved by, the importance is that, importance for me, I think, is that realization that stretching back through time, all of humanity has seen this time of year as one that brings hope. But not just one-time hope. This is seasonal hope. This is part of the cycle of life and living. And I love that. Just think about it. Hope is here for us as part of the cycle of life. Some of these holidays are based on miracle stories that may or may not be grounded in truth, but the point is not that the miracle happened in just one point in time. It's that each year we celebrate it. We let in that miraculous sense. We light that light yet again, and it grabs onto us as part of our daily living. So I received the news this week that dear woman I told you about, the one who waited for us on the patio at that Costa Mesa UU church so long ago, that she died peacefully, surrounded by her family. And I felt sadness that she was no longer with us. And of course, I'm thinking of all the times that she came as Mrs. Claus to my previous congregation, and the kids were so delighted to see her there. And I feel joy in remembering her, remembering all that she gave others along the way, remembering my Aunt Lee. This is the season in these dark nights where we remember the people who came before. We see them. We see their images in that holiday glow and the lights and the twinkle of candles and fire. And if you think about it, I hope you can think, looking back at your life, at those people who were there at some point. Maybe they were there with their arms outstretched saying, "I just want to love you." Often those are the people who made sure that we got here to where we are right now. Look, I know life is hard sometimes. We all have our personal stuff to get through. And what's happened in our nation, in our world, it gives us more to carry. This can feel like a relentlessly cheerful season, oblivious to our more complicated feelings. I get that. But I hope that in the midst of it, if you can, I hope that you can hold on to what is at the core, right there. Something that is about darkness and light, about us making friends with both, about appreciating both, so that we find a sense of wholeness and peace in who we are. And then we use that sense of wholeness to feel empowered to move into the new year and what will come. I think this is the message that humanity has been grappling with from the beginning, putting different stories upon it, finding different rituals and ways of explaining and understanding it. But I think it's been there since time began. 'tis the season then. 'Tis the season of dark and light, of shadow and shine, of memory and presence. 'Tis the season to take a breath, find your center, and not just enjoy the holiday glow, but become part of it.